Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Intelligence agencies and black projects have come under much more scrutiny as whistleblowers such as Snowden have come forward with evidence showing mass surveillance and secrecy that is not only defying the intent of our Constitution, but also betraying the trust of the American people. Black projects are spending significant sums of money and doing all sorts of missions all over the world. But without the Congress or the American people knowing what they're even for, do we want our tax money being used for these projects? After all, it's our money, right? It doesn't belong to the handful of top security officers who have a need to know. So there's quite a bit of issues going on in the intelligence community. And lately, I've seen Robert David Steele. He's an ex-CIA agent and political activist. He's been all over the media lately discussing issues with the intelligence community, world politics, and with the Trump administration and Trump himself. I wanted to bring him on and find out what drives him. Why does he work so hard to communicate with the public? He served in the CIA for 10 years, focusing on extremists and terrorist targets. He later accepted a position in the Marine Corps to set up the Marine Corps Intelligence Center. So he has a ton of experience here. He also has written many, many books on various intelligence issues and topics. And he gives these things out for free. And his intent is to educate the public. So I wanted to understand what motivates him, what's his passion behind all this. And one area I'm really interested in diving into is his stance on open source intelligence. What is that? What does it mean? And what problems would it solve? And why do the intelligence agencies want to stay completely clear of it? So fortunately for us, Robert David Steele agreed to join the program and to answer these questions and many more, of course. And I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of interviews that he's done on YouTube and all over the radio and everywhere else. And I think this is the best one that he's done. So I would recommend listening to this whole thing. So let's get into that right now and welcome Robert David Steele to the program. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm so glad that you invited me. I'm sick with bronchitis, but for you, I got out of bed.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, first of all, you are really an advocate and activist, and I've seen you all over the place lately on alternative media, and you're trying to get and educate people on the CIA and the intelligence community in general. But one of the things that you are really an activist about is open source intelligence or open source engineering. Can you explain what that is? And maybe you got to give us some background. I don't know. Go ahead.
I would be glad to do that, Sarah. When I created the Marine Corps Intelligence Center after being a spy for 9 years, I spent $20 million ensuring that the Marine Corps had access to every secret that the United States government had collected. And what we found was that the United States government doesn't know anything about most of the world. All of the secrecy is focused on Russia, China, and Iran. They don't actually do Burundi, Haiti, or Somalia. And that's when I discovered that open sources provide 95% of what we need to know. And that includes commercial intelligence as well. The problem that I discovered was that no one was combining the professional process of classified intelligence, which is requirements definition, what do you need to know, collection management, who knows it, processing, both machine and human, and then visualization and decision support. You have to be able to deliver the decision support in a manner that the decision maker can consume. And if you give them a binder, they're not going to consume it. That wasn't being combined with access to all sources in all languages. And that's why I started the discipline of open source intelligence.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. So why are you no longer really promoting it? Did you have a shift in direction? Because I noticed that you had an operation going and then you no longer are. Did you shift the direction? And where is it now?
I absolutely love that question, Sarah. Essentially, I was marginalized and defeated for 25 years. The CIA's worst nightmare, in fact, the U.S. intelligence community's worst nightmare, is Donald Trump ever listening to me and starting an open source agency? Because within 90 days, Trump would be cutting the budget of the secret intelligence world. So what I did was I taught 66 countries, 7,500 officers how to do open source intelligence. But CIA basically bribed intelligence communities around the world to redefine open sources so that all of the intelligence people were limited to what's called passive open sources. That means social media monitoring and document exploitation. CIA insisted that human open sources were the province of the clandestine service. Now, spies don't like talking to schoolboys. It's not sexy. So CIA essentially mischaracterized open source. And essentially, it's like trying to walk with one leg and have the rest of your body cut off. So I did shift in direction. I wrote in 2012, I wrote a book called The Open Source Everything Manifesto, Transparency, Truth, and Trust. And that's what led me, and we could talk more if you wish, that's what led me to open source everything engineering. There are 9 major open source categories. Open source intelligence is just one of those.
Well, what are the other categories? Now, what do you mean by engineering versus, I love the open source trust, the trust manifesto, the whole idea of trust. But what, you know, what is the whole engineering versus what you had before?
Well, I love that question. Let's start with the fact that open source is a mindset above all else.
That makes sense.
We're coming off 2 centuries of fencing in the commons. We're coming off 2 centuries of concentrating wealth and criminalizing individual behavior. For example, in Florida, you're not allowed to catch rainwater or have solar power and not be connected to the grid. Yeah. The insanities that are present in our society are just insane. But the key point is I was inspired to create open source intelligence by watching Richard Stallman, who created open source software and free open source software. And I then realized that every single thing we do in our economy, in our society, can either be proprietary and protected by law and restricted, or it can be open. And that's what led me to the open source everything aspect. And I'd be glad to go into that more if you wish.
Well, yeah, quick question then, because right now it seems that the intelligence agency is making everything top secret and proprietary. Nobody can see anything. So it's created just this huge distrust for government.
Yes, it has. And let me just point out to you that one of the reasons there's huge distrust in government is because the intelligence community is lying to the president and lying to the public. I have been one of 29 people who have published widely on the fact that the Russians did not hack the election. That is a lie. That is John Brennan.
How do you know?
A treasonous act.
How do you know that the Russians didn't hack? I got to tell you, I have a computer science engineering degree and I have some friends who are computers, you know, that I went to school with. And I am just getting bombarded with tweets of how, you know, all this crap about how the Russians hacked the thing and all this proof. How do you know from the other side? Because, you know, with everything being hackable now, as you know, knowing the technology, how do you know that they didn't do it?
Your listeners can find my 2 published pieces. They were published in Global Research. And if they looked for just Robert Steele, Russians did not hack the election, they'll get right to it. And I'll go over this with you. And please bear in mind, I wrote the first warning letter to the White House in 1994. I introduced NSA to hackers in 1993. I was the opening speaker at Hackers on Planet Earth in 1994. And I co-founded the first cyber war conference with Wynn Schwartau.
So you're the father of hacking?
I know a little bit about this stuff.
This is awesome. Okay.
Okay. The DNC was not a hack. It was a leak by an insider. And William Binney from NSA, Ambassador Craig Morey, Julian Assange, all of us have said this. It was a leak. It was not a hack. The Podesta email And I was just on Russia Today with Sean Stone, the son of Oliver Stone, and also a movie producer in his own right. And Sean Stone and I had this conversation. And your listeners can find Robert Steele at Russia Today on Russians Did Not Hack the Election. Actually, it's called Why is Trump the Accidental President? So the DNC was not a hack. Podesta was a Romanian taxi driver with antiquated equipment who was in jail in Virginia, was thoroughly interrogated, and then sent back to Romania when it was clear he wasn't a Russian agent. Okay? John Brennan is lying to the American public as well as the American president and the American Congress. If he weren't already out the door, he would be subject to impeachment. Okay? Basically, you can never tell in the digital world who came in from where. It's just too easy to write scripts that move you all over the place. And anybody who wants to pretend that it's the Russians can do that, which, of course, would include the Chinese. But the bottom line here, these were all leaks, not hacks. And the third big one was the laptop that was confiscated by the New York Police Department in New York. And that had all of the emails that Uma Abedin had been an addressee on. And although the FBI sequestered that laptop, it had enough to make the New York Police Department very angry. And that showed Hillary Clinton sending emails with classified information to IP addresses in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. So the long and the short of it is, and I've written this in detail, it's one of the most read pieces on this topic right now. The Russians did not hack the election. John Brennan is a liar.
Well, see, now I've argued that too, you know, like what you're saying, and I agree with you. So all that stuff seems like it's well documented. The one thing that I had to concede on when I was is that maybe there's other crap that was going on that isn't that stuff.
Look, that's the standard game that they play. And I testified, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, may he rest in peace, he invited me to testify both publicly and privately on this subject. And the core aspect of my testimony, which your listeners can find if they look up Moynihan Commission Steele, the core point was that all of our enemies know everything they need to know about our sources and methods. Here's a quote for you. The primary use of secrecy in Washington, D.C. is to cover up lies to Congress.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I absolutely swear on the heads of my children.
That's too bad.
This is, look, Brennan was caught spying on Senate computers in 2014, and he lied about it. Okay, this is not an honorable man. And you also need to know that the CIA has been blackmailing John McCain and Lindsey Graham to make them more anti-Russian. Wayne Madsen, one of my favorite investigative journalists, did a piece on the specifics of the blackmail. And then Donald Trump turned that right around and counter-blackmailed him. And lo and behold, they're supporting Rex Tillman, who is a god for me. Rex Tillman is one of the greatest human beings on the planet. So he's now going to sail through as Secretary of State.
Well, how did
so, Sarah, you're right to be doubtful, but I absolutely tell you the biggest thing that John Brennan did in the last 90 days was gore the secret intelligence community ox. He did in 90 days what I have failed to do in 30 years. He persuaded the public that CIA lies for a living.
Well, that's so. What did Donald Trump do to counter bribe him?
I'm pretty sure he went over to them and said, I understand. You have my love and acceptance. Let's just get through this. And I am hoping that in the future, we will have a more robust counterintelligence service. And we will have other things that we can talk about later that will essentially free all of our members of Congress from bribery and blackmail. They are all right now being bribed or blackmailed or both.
It's a tough, tough world right now, isn't it?
Well, it's horrible because what really bothers me about this Russian hacking thing is nobody gets upset about the fact that NSA is spying not only on all Americans, but on all our politicians, all of our judges and our Wall Street traders. There's an NSA insider, Russ Tice, who's come out and said Barack Obama, NSA has every email and phone call he's ever made ever since he was a junior senator.
Jeez. Okay, so why did you decide to leave the CIA? Did you feel that you could get more accomplished out, or were you just completely disgusted?
Well, no, the short answer is I wasn't planning to leave the CIA. I actually love the CIA. And I think CIA needs to grow. It needs to double in size. But we need to eliminate the National Security Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office and put signals intelligence and imagery intelligence into CIA so that it's an all-source intelligence agency. Please don't misunderstand me. I think CIA, if it's managed properly, which it is not, is one of our most precious assets. But it is not a crown jewel, as Joe Biden would like to have you believe. It's actually more like gold flakes in a very large cow pot. All right?
Meaning that it's
not.
Go ahead.
No. I want you to intervene, please.
I was going to say, meaning that it's just managed the crap and used for the wrong purposes, but there's a lot of good people wanting to do good things.
Well, and let me tell you that most people will not understand CIA unless they've read two books. The first is called The Secret Team by Fletcher Prouty, the colonel that handled the military's relations with CIA for many years. And the second one is called The Devil's Chessboard. CIA was created by Wall Street lawyers to serve Wall Street. They pulled a fast one over on Harry Truman. There are seven CIAs, not one. And I've written about this. Your listeners can look up CIA, seven CIAs, Robert Steele. There are seven CIAs. And among those CIAs are the rogue CIAs that does rendition and torture with Saudi Arabian money, the drone CIA that assassinates people with a 98% wrongful kill ratio, the drug running and money laundering CIA, and finally, you have the pedophile CIA. CIA imports small children for our elites using military assets conscripted for national security purposes. There is a lot of evil going on behind this curtain. Well, now, 90%.
I just hope Trump comes in there and I really hope he can break some of this down.
Well, I think the short answer is Trump is going to be treading water because I think there are moves in place that are going to end Trump's presidency prematurely. Mike Pompeo was first in his class at West Point, which means he is a rocket scientist. That is as smart a man as you're ever going to see. But unfortunately, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And what Pompeo is going to discover is that 80% of what CIA insiders tell him is a lie. They are going to lie to him, not only directly, but by omission. For example, when George Tenet testified to Congress that he had doubled CIA's analytic capabilities against China, what he really meant to say was that he went from four analysts to eight, of whom only two spoke Chinese.
Oh, Jesus. So is it because people are scared they won't tell him? Or is it because they're, you know, if there's gold flecks in a mud pie, the gold flecks would want to tell him? Or is it just, you know,
no,
what I'm asking?
Look, this whole thing is a scam. All right. I'm an intelligence professional. Intelligence means decision support. It does not mean spying. Intelligence should be defined by the outputs, not the inputs. And it's not intelligence. 99% of what CIA and the military intelligence agencies and everyone else do is not intelligence. It's classified information collection. Only 1% of the collected information is processed. And out of that processed information, probably only 1% to 5% is useful intelligence that can help the president. And they don't do anything at all for the cabinet members, the assistant secretaries, or the frontline people. So open source intelligence is how you actually start doing intelligence for everybody.
You start actually doing what it was commissioned to do. You could cut like 90% of the organization and rebuild it up properly.
Well, I wouldn't go quite that far, but you're close. My personal number is 80%. I think we can cut 80% of the secret intelligence community. We need to double CIA in size and of course, double its budget. But it needs a completely new approach to leadership and a completely new approach to information management. And last but not least, they have to understand that you don't send a spy where a schoolboy can go. You have to answer every question you can with open sources and methods. And only if you cannot answer that question with open sources and methods, and it is a vital national interest, then do you risk a spy or do the expensive technical stuff.
That makes sense. Why do it when you don't need to? My question with the CIA and all those different branches, seven, eight branches that you were saying, now, what is the structure of that? Is there do they report to the head of the CIA or are they hidden CIAs reporting where?
Hang on a second. Look, CIA has a number of directorates, and I don't want to get into the structure. Let me just tell you that the 17 intelligence community assets are out of control. They are basically just spending money and going through the motions. And I'm sorry to say this, but the fact is that for $3 billion a year, I can meet 95% of President Trump's intelligence needs, and also meet the needs of every cabinet secretary, and also provide a duplicate copy of this decision support to each of the congressional jurisdictions.
How much money did you say?
That is responsible for overseeing the executive.
Will you repeat that? How much money did you say?
$3 billion. And Sarah, $3 billion is not a lot of money. Think of it as 130 million packages. I was on the Foreign Intelligence Priorities and Capabilities Committee. I served on all the national committees at the national level for managing intelligence. And what we discovered is that nobody does anything on Haiti or Burundi or Somalia or agriculture or water or climate change or infectious disease. Human trafficking is not well covered. We don't have an intelligence community. We have a spending pond. And so with $3 million, I could cover the world.
Billion.
And I could provide tailored decision support to every single person in Washington, which has the added advantage of being publicly available so that the public can see what we see, read what we read, and hear what we hear.
Well, I the sad part is, based on how much I'm covering some of these issues and the fact that it's so out of control, it does look like nobody's doing anything on some of these real serious issues.
You're absolutely right. And if Pompeo, I mean, my personal feeling was that Trump had it so that his director of national intelligence basically closed that office and then stepped down to become the restored director of central intelligence. But don't get me wrong. I recommend to anyone who wants to consider it that they go work for CIA if they can get in. It's extraordinarily competitive, but there is absolutely nothing in the world like being a case officer, a clandestine case officer for the CIA, with the possible exception of being a Jesuit.
So, okay, you have been an activist and a writer ever since you left the CIA, and I want to understand what your main passion is behind your activism.
Well, thank you for asking that question. I'm honored to be asked that question. And it all starts with my deciding to leave the CIA when the Marine Corps invited me to come back to the Marine Corps and create the Marine Corps Intelligence Command. I had stayed a reserve officer while I was in the CIA, and they had me working at the national level at the headquarters. And so I created the Marine Corps Intelligence Center from scratch, every job description, every piece of equipment, everything. And what I discovered was that 90% of what we needed to know was not in English, not online, and not known to anybody in Washington, D.C. And so I became an advocate for open source intelligence, first for 4 years within the U.S. government, knocking on doors, going to all the committee meetings and pleading for us to pay proper attention to open source intelligence. And I was basically shut out. And the reason I was shut out was because open source intelligence is not secret and not expensive. And the whole mythos, the whole cult of secrecy, as someone wrote a book by that title once, was, oh, we only do secrets, and we only do secrets of the president, and never mind if they're irrelevant to anything. So I decided to leave the CIA to do the Marine Corps by invitation. And then at the Marine Corps, when I had my first open source intelligence conference in 1992, CIA freaked out and ordered the Marine Corps to order me to stop and not do another conference. So I could have chosen between staying on as a bureaucrat in a cubicle or giving up everything and becoming an activist for open source intelligence. And I did that. And my wife's still mad about it. But it was the right thing to do.
You have to stay true to your soul. Otherwise, you kind of sell your soul if you're sitting in a cube doing what, being shut down.
I agree with you absolutely and completely. And the open source intelligence stuff, for a while, I was living the dream. I was flying very close to the sun. I was invited by NATO to brief them. I wrote the NATO Open Source Intelligence Handbook, the Special Operations Forces Open Source Intelligence Handbook. And it wasn't until I lost my clearances in 2006, when in a security interview, they asked me to declare all my foreign contacts, and I very cheerfully declared 7,500. Think of three little chimpanzees jumping up and down inside of a small room, and you'll have a sense of what these idiots were reacting to. I got my clearances back because the judge knew that all of my 7,500 foreign contacts were legitimate and above board and so forth. But what these guys did was they did me a great favor. They cost me $6 million. I mean, they basically put me into unemployment, but they freed my soul, Sarah. They allowed me to go out and be myself.
Which is always
better.
And
what I ended up doing was creating a movement, and it was a movement outside of government. And I ended up giving a lot of thought to this. I discovered the collective intelligence people led by Tom Attlee. And finally, I ended up writing the Open Source Everything Manifesto, which is cult reading now. And I'm very honored by that. I'm not allowed. It's the only one of my works that I'm not allowed to post free online. And I regret that. I think there's a free online copy out there someplace, but it may come with bugs. But it's available in Kindle. And of course, everything is free at my website. So if your listeners want to go to phibetaiota.net and just look up open source intelligence or open source, they'll get everything there. Now, let me finish with my final activism piece. I realized that even if I succeeded with open source intelligence, we still had a dishonest government. I'm one of the top Amazon reviewers for nonfiction. I've published an essay on Democracy Lost with 100 book reviews in it. We have a two-party tyranny in the United States that fronts for Wall Street. No issue is going to get an honest hearing in Washington, D.C. until we destroy that two-party tyranny. And Trump right now is a captive to that two-party tyranny.
Well, everybody is, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right, Sarah. And so in 2011, I was inspired by Occupy. Occupy took me to a new level of activism. And I went up and joined the Occupy Electoral Working Group, Electoral Reform Working Group. And my video to Occupy was filmed by a guy named Phil Small, 6 minutes. It became viral. It was put on the front page of Reddit. And my young teenagers came to me one day, as a dad, you're on Reddit. So I had my Gary Johnson Aleppo moment. And I said, what's a Reddit? that went viral. So my passion, bottom line, is restoring the Constitution, restoring democracy, and getting every citizen to be an informed, engaged citizen, which is open source intelligence is how you do the informed part. And polling and other things are how you do the engaged part.
Well, the Constitution originally was set up to have open source. You're trying to get back to that concept, right? I mean, wasn't
that
whole concept?
Right. And in fact, we're in violation of many, many, many of our clauses in the Constitution. And we've also amended some important clauses. People don't understand that we are the United States of America, not the United Popular Vote of America. We are 50 states, and the federal government is supposed to be a service of common concern. It is not supposed to be an imperial overseer of the 50 independent states. I'm a huge, huge proponent for both individual rights and state rights. And I would say that one of the things Trump should do is probably end federal ownership of land. The state should own the land.
Well, federal government owns like half the country. When you look at the map, I know you're familiar with it.
You're absolutely right. There's an excellent graphic that shows that most of the land west of the Mississippi is owned and controlled by the federal government. I want that to end. That's the great frontier that we could reopen. Now, there still need to be compromises. We do want to preserve our natural heritage and so forth. But what I then became beyond open source was an electoral reform advocate. And I'm very concerned when people like Lessig try to undermine the Constitution. For example, the Electoral College exists so that California and New York do not control the federal government.
Exactly.
It exists so that the voices in every one of our so-called flyover states are heard. And anybody who doesn't understand that doesn't understand the Constitution and doesn't understand the United States of America. So for me, my passion is being a citizen.
Okay, this is probably self-evident, but I want to ask you this anyways. Just I want your take on it. Why do you think when you're trying to say something that itself should be self-evident, open source intelligence and doing obvious things, why were you so shut out on such a common sense thing? And why are we so messed up?
I'm really glad you asked that question, Sarah. It gets to the heart of the U.S. government. First off, the U.S. government should not be allowed to borrow money. It should not be allowed to have an unlimited, unbalanced budget. I'm a huge fan of a balanced budget. It was one of my four planks when I ran for president in 2012, very briefly. The U.S. government is basically a pyramid. It's a Ponzi scheme. And the bureaucracy exists to spend money and grow. People don't get promoted unless they grow their budget. And so there's this built-in incentive, and it's documented that 50% of the U.S. government across every domain, whether it's agriculture, energy, health, housing, the military, 50% is waste. Okay? So Donald Trump has a real chance here to cut the federal government in half and still make us stronger and more prosperous. But people in Washington are not working for the American public. They're working for the people who pay them. They're working for the recipients of the taxpayer dollar, not for the hard-earned taxpayer themselves.
Well, we're really in a different time right now. I've never seen a president come in and actually do this stuff. It's really quite strange. But he has called on cutting 10% of the federal government right just today, I think. I heard that on the news. What do you think of that? How is that going to be received?
Trump is at risk of assassination, impeachment, and neutralization. And he doesn't understand that the Republican Party is not his friend. They're setting him up for failure. But I have never in my lifetime seen anyone come in with so much energy and so much ability to question the conventional wisdom. I mean, he's done more for America in the days leading up to inauguration than Barack Obama did in 8 years. I think Trump has enormous potential, but he is going to be forced to resign if he does not understand that he is a fringe president elected by 27%. 26% hate him and 47% dropped out. And I can talk about that when you wish, but there are three things Donald Trump has to do to save his presidency and make America great again.
Well, I have a couple other questions I want to ask you, but you can.
Yes, let's go. Let's take you on your schedule.
Okay. I want to talk about your hacker stuff because you were the original advocate for hackers are good guys. And we all know that some hackers are bad guys because they're stealing our credit card information and doing all sorts of bad things to all of us individuals. And it's awful. But you're not talking about that. You're talking about it at a different level. So explain what that means.
First off, I'm very proud of the PBS interview that I did. It's still available online. It's a frontline PBS interview that I did in 1994 when I was the first speaker at Hackers on Planet Earth. And I'm hacking the intelligence community. I'm hacking the Earth, but I'm not a coder. People need to understand that hackers are like astronauts. They're pioneers. They're pushing the edge of the envelope. They're full of the right stuff. There's absolutely no criminal connotation to the word hacker unless you're a moron or the Secret Service. I spent several years educating the U.S. government on hackers. I introduced NSA to hackers. They bust down two buses of NSA people to listen to the hacker panel led by Emmanuel Goldstein, a man that I very much admire, who created 2600 in the Hackers on Planet Earth conference. I believe that hacking is about being innovative and disruptive, which is what your show is about. We should all be hackers. I mean, hacking at root means doing something better than someone has ever done it before with less resources, which is like Buckminster Fuller and synergetics. It's making the most out of what you have to work with. And it's also very seriously has the doctor's ethic also. Do no harm. A real hacker does not do harm.
So you're almost trying to take back that meaning of the word because it's morphed into the Russians and the Somalians and whoever is out there trying to steal our crap and hurt us. And
you're absolutely right. You know, CIA spends a lot of time manipulating the public consciousness. They own most of the journalists and most of the mainstream media. See the Crap News Network, Fox, Washington Post, New York Times, they're owned by CIA. They take their marching orders on storylines from CIA, from the covert action staff. And it can be very subtle. It might be just one man at the very top who then issues marching orders and no one actually understands that CIA is behind it. I tried to get the mainstream media to cover electoral reform for 3 years, and they would not do it. It's an off-limit taboo thing. So managing the language is what people do with political correctness and all of this other stuff. Do you know that the Department of Justice has been seeking to legalize pedophilia?
Oh, God, no. How do we? OK, how can people find that and show that what you're saying is accurate?
Look up Senator Justice Memorandum Pedophilia, because one of our U.S. senators broke this story. All right. The whole idea. Marcuse wrote an excellent article on repressive tolerance. Repressive tolerance is when you get a public so dumbed down that they think anything goes and they lose all of their values. They lose their moral compass. That's where we're at right now. We are allowing the United States government to do elective wars and assassinate people by drone and torture people and do all kinds of evil things because we've lost touch with our ethical compass. So hackers are good. There's absolutely no question on that topic. Hackers are pioneers who push the edge of the envelope and do no harm.
But not the hackers that go in and steal. You're not talking about. So
those
now,
aren't hackers. Those are criminals.
What do you call the criminal? Oh, yes. Okay. So now what do you think of the group Anonymous?
I like Anonymous, and I'm told Anonymous likes me. One of the things I said when I spoke to the hackers in 1994 was I said, you're a national asset. You have a responsibility to protect. So I urge you to crack into anything you can crack and then report it, give them 30 days to fix it, and then publicize it. All right. One of the things most of your listeners don't understand is that it was NSA that created the Russian and Chinese hacking ecologies.
How?
NSA is a result. Yeah, I'm serious. NSA is a result of my warning letter to the White House. You can find that online by looking for 1994, Sounding the Alarm. My letter to the White House and a few other things resulted in NSA being given the mission of protecting U.S. computing and communications capabilities. NSA chose instead to sabotage existing security. The CEOs, and I will name companies, this is a matter of public record, the CEOs of Dell, IBM, and HP, and today Microsoft and Google, co-conspired with NSA to put in really stupid backdoors that made it easy for NSA to monitor all of our emails and with AT&T, all of our cell calls. NSA single-handedly betrayed the entire U.S. public and the entire U.S. corporate world and small business world by not doing what it was told to do. We should have a blockchain-type encrypted, completely open-source security communications and computing system that NSA cannot crack.
Well, let me ask you. Now, do you think that they were thinking that they were doing something good and helping the government? Or do you think they're blackmailed or forced to do it?
Well, first off, I'm quite sure that they were doing it because they were stupid bureaucrats that wanted the easiest way out. They don't like having to work hard. But there are elements of NSA that are using those capabilities against Wall Street traders so they can do insider trading with offshore money. Okay. I mean, Donald Trump has a major counterintelligence problem in the intelligence community. It is corrupt to the bone, not the 90 people, not the 90% of the good people trapped in a bad system, but the 10% that are using all those capabilities to do evil.
Well, if you
the
get
U.S.
the wrong,
intelligence community is evil.
You get the in any management situation, you get the wrong people in the wrong jobs. It can be turn into a nightmare very quickly.
No, I'm sorry. Forgive me, but you're being naive. They have exactly the right people in exactly the right jobs to do what they want, which is to lie, cheat, and steal.
Well, yes. Okay. If that's your goal. But what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying the opposite way.
Yes, I am saying I do know what your goal is. And I'll tell you what I told Jim Clapper in 2007. Jim's the DNI. I told Clapper, you need to start an open source agency that can provide all possible decision support to all possible customers, and let that be the gold standard by which you measure the need and capability of your classified stuff. Jim didn't want to touch that at all because he knew that the day I get an open source agency, he's lost half his budget.
Well, that's the problem. They're afraid of doing the right thing because they're going to lose their job and get pushed out.
Well, I don't want them to lose their job. I was one of those who helped the National Security Act of 1992 that Senator Boren and Congressman McCurdy led. And one of the things I learned the hard way was you have to have a resettlement plan. You have to provide a soft landing for the people that are affected by this. Now, the United States of America has a desperate shortfall in the information technology arena. And I've worked with Del Spurlock, the former Undersecretary of Labor under Ronald Reagan. We have a plan for retraining every intelligence community person that wants to be retrained to the same salary level in the information technology arena. Then they can start earning an honest living.
Well, now what is the process for being able to break this crap down and build it back up to something that's honest and trustworthy?
God, I love that question. That's the best question I've had in years. Most people don't get that far. First off, Donald Trump has to have an open source agency. Now, Mike Flynn reached out to me in 2014, and Mike Flynn sort of understands this, but he doesn't understand it completely. And I'm afraid that he is going to go the traditional route of giving money to data miners, which is not open source. The Danish government invited me to lecture in April of 2016, and I wrote a piece which is both in Kindle and free online. It's called Open Source Intelligence Done Right. For Donald Trump to be the best president in modern history, he has to get three things going and going now. One is an open source agency that allows him to then cut the intelligence community by, let's say, 70%, the secret intelligence community. And that includes retraining everybody who wishes to be retrained so that they are never unemployed as part of our reform of the intelligence community. The second thing that he needs is a Trump channel, because I've done a Kindle, and basically when I look at Crap News Network and Fox, O'Reilly, it just turns my stomach. These people are lying to the public blatantly. I mean, Time Magazine, Massimo Calabresi used to have his integrity. Massimo Calabresi wrote a long piece in Time in the issue of the 16th of January, in which he laid out the official U.S. government narrative on how Russians hacked the election.
How can
now, I know Massimo.
How can
He's
they?
A smart man.
How
he
can
lie?
But how can so many people just lie? Are they blackmailed or?
I think it's mostly bribery and it's mostly control. You know, John Rappaport has done a great job with his book and his series of audio tapes on the Matrix. And what you have basically is a massive government whose job it is to keep people employed and busy with trivia. We repress free thinkers in this country. We beat the creativity out of kids by the time they're in the fourth grade. There's a great book called Orbiting the Giant Hairball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Massimo basically had a choice. He could write crap and get promoted, or he could quit and be like me, unemployed.
Yeah.
It's all about what price is your integrity.
Well, but that's my point when I said they're afraid to do it because they're afraid that they're going to lose their jobs. And
that's
we
exactly
need courage.
Right. Let me talk about the military. You know, our military officers say that they only have two choices when they're given a lunatic order by the president. They can either obey or resign. That's not correct. We swear an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The third choice that a military officer has is to refuse that order and immediately report it to Congress recommending impeachment.
But, you know, a lot of the whistleblowers are coming forward because they shouldn't have to follow an illegal activity, and they should be able to come forward and tell them the truth, but they're just getting frickin' nailed. So you do.
You're absolutely right, Sarah. Whistleblowers are criminalized. And that's what's so terribly wrong. And I will tell you, Hillary Clinton has revealed more secrets to more people than anybody, including certainly David Petraeus. And by the way, in defense of Petraeus, the person that he gave his books to was not only his biographer, she was a major in the U.S. Army Reserve with top secret clearances who could arguably be said to have a need to know. Now, he mishandled that classified information, but he's nothing like a Chelsea Manning or an Edward Snowden. And I have to tell you, if you look at the outcome of Manning and Snowden, what you have is a righteous outcome. Three big things have happened in the United States in the last 90 days, thanks to John Brennan's lies about the Russians hacking the election. First, the public now understands that the secret intelligence community tells lies with no evidence. Second, the public understands that this fake news meme that the CIA invented to try and repress those of us that are skeptics has been flipped around. Everybody now understands that CNN stands for Crap News Network, and that it's the mainstream media that's the fake news. And the third big thing is that Donald Trump got elected against violent opposition from the two-party tyranny. Everybody, except possibly Trump, understands that parties, political parties, are toxic. We need to move to direct democracy. And that's why I think you need an interactive Trump channel that reaches every citizen and can also take back and aggregate citizen inputs on every issue.
And he's trying to talk directly to the people with Twitter, but you're thinking, expand that. Take your Twitter and put it on steroids and do your channel thing that you're talking about.
Sarah, that's a huge opening that you've given me. Twitter is censoring Donald Trump. Twitter and Reddit and Google and Facebook, they're all talking about censoring the president of the United States of America. They're all talking about censoring any commentary. For example, Google provided millions and millions of dollars of undeclared campaign contributions to Hillary Clinton by manipulating search results. Any search for Hillary plus criminal came up empty. Any search for Trump alone came up Trump plus Hitler. Okay? That's an illegal and despicable activity. So Trump needs to actually replace Twitter and Facebook. He needs to create a Trump channel that is completely independent of all of the social media channels. People should have a right to sign up for a free account there and be in direct touch with the president of the United States.
You had one more thing that you thought Trump should do. You said three things I heard you say, and I think I only had two.
Bless you. Bless you for asking. Counterintelligence. Trump has at least two people serving him directly that are real trouble. Rince Priebus, his chief of staff, cannot be trusted to be his chief of staff because Rince Priebus' highest priority in life is protecting and expanding the Republican Party. I believe Julian Assange is going to come out with some explosive releases near the summer, and they will do to the Republican Party what has already been done to the Democratic Party. Rince Priebus will become the Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the Republican Party, and you are also going to find releases that show that Rince Priebus has been an enabler and a cover-upper of Republican elite pedophilia across the entire U.S. government, not just within the Congress.
Okay, so he used to be the head of the RNC. Why do you think Donald Trump selected him when he knows?
That's a brilliant question. Trump is one of the smartest guys we've ever had get this far. And he understands that he has to make peace with the establishment. He hasn't begun to think at a strategic level that I can tell, but at a cunning street level. He's been extraordinarily wise. He had to make three gates to become president. He had to win the election, which he did not expect to do. He had to win the Electoral College, which everybody tried to flip, which I consider treason. And he had to get certified by Congress and then be inaugurated. So four gates. He's now made it through all four of those gates. Rince Priebus was a pawn in keeping the establishment quiet until he was inaugurated as president of the United States. I predict that Rince Priebus and Sean Spicer will be fired within 30 days.
Oh, that'll be interesting to watch this.
I certainly hope so, because what Donald Trump needs to understand is that he is not going to be a legitimate president in the eyes of 70% of the public unless he passes an Electoral Reform Act that makes it possible for libertarians and greens and independents to be elected to Congress. And that makes it possible for Donald Trump to survive the implosion of the Republican Party. Right now, he is a prisoner in enemy hands.
Okay, well, let me ask you, if he fires them, how is that? I mean, that, how is he going to make it through that?
I think a lot of people would actually applaud. I don't think we've talked about truth and reconciliation. So let me bring that up. It's extremely important when you're making vast systemic changes that you not be destructive, that you be disruptive, as you say, but not destructive. So a truth and reconciliation plan needs to accompany everything Donald Trump does. Every industry that he disrupts, for example, the pharmaceuticals industry, the health industry, which is 50% waste, is going to be disrupted. One of his initiatives in the health arena, I think, will be forcing the providers of health services and health products to actually have a price list. They don't have a price list right now. How much you pay depends on which insurance plan and which hospital and which doctor you're using.
You don't want to get me going on that Obamacare stuff.
No, we're absolutely really on the same place here. So Trump has to make a deal with the Republican and Democratic parties. And the deal, if he ever talked to me, that I recommend he make, is that every incumbent will be protected and every seat that is vacated will go to an independent, green, libertarian, or other small party. We need to create a 10 to 20 person swing vote in the House and a 3 to 5 person swing vote in the Senate. And we need to end party caucuses.
Yeah, because you can't. I love that idea.
Well,
because
it's in the Constitution.
Well, but
our members are supposed to represent their constituents. The House of Representatives is supposed to represent the people in their district. The senators are supposed to represent their states, which is why I would reverse. I think it's the 17th Amendment. I would reverse that amendment and restore state rights by having the senators be appointed by their states.
Well, we're at the point where only three people will switch on a particular vote. So we have a completely locked Congress.
Well, part of the problem, Sarah, is that all those votes are paid for.
Yeah.
And you only have two parties. What you need to do is free the members from financial dependency. And the Electoral Reform Act has 12 points. Your listeners can look up the Electoral Reform Act of 2016 or 2017 at phibetaiota.net, or they can just look it up on Google. The Electoral Reform Act is not my original idea. It is me aggregating good ideas from thousands of activists over the last 10 years. And I've come up with 12 things that, if implemented, would restore direct democracy in the United States of America. And that includes paper ballots counted publicly on site with exit polls. Diebold is a criminal enterprise.
Yeah, you gotta
all electronic voting machines are criminal.
Yeah, we got to get rid of the technology and just go to paper. Let's evolve to paper.
I agree completely.
Yeah, I 100%. Keep going. I cut you off.
No. You're great. This has really worked out well. You know, the biggest problems that I see facing this country are that we don't have integrity in any of our major tribes. Okay, there are 8 tribes of information. Academic tribe, the civil society tribe that includes labor and religion, the commerce tribe, especially small business, the government tribe, especially local government, the law enforcement tribe, the media, including bloggers and podcasters and such, and then the military and finally nonprofit, non-governmental organizations. All 8 of these tribes have lost their integrity. They are no longer about what is the best truth. How do we serve the public? They're all about keeping the money moving and keeping their place in the universe of power. The biggest problem, I like to say that there's nothing wrong with America the Beautiful that can't be fixed and fixed fast by restoring integrity to our electoral system. So my biggest wish in life is for Donald Trump to understand that he's not going to finish out his term unless he passes the Electoral Reform Act in the next 90 days.
Interesting. Now, and you have, I love that you're saying something like that, and it'll be good for him to hear that and think about it and take heart. Now, do you have the Electoral Reform Act? Is it already written and ready to go that they've been trying to pass for years? Or does it have to be rewritten?
No. First off, there are a number of electoral reform initiatives in Congress. They're all pretentious theatrics. The most important one is gerrymandering. I mean, a lot of states are starting to realize that you have to have tightly drawn districts. Some states are starting to look at campaign finance reform. But in fact, you have to do 12 different things. And I would really urge your listeners to look up the Electoral Reform Act. I can, if you wish, itemize them, but I don't want to take up your precious time if that's not what you want to do.
No, hey, if you want to do it, go ahead. This is going to go over my airtime, and I'm recording this, and so anybody that wants to hear it will be able to hear it on podcast.
Oh, super. Then let's suck them in by going another 10 or 15 minutes.
Perfect. Let's go.
The 12 points, and I emphasize that these are ideas from many, many other activists that I've polled over the last several years. Number one is universal registration and prisoners don't lose their vote. If prisoners were voting today, Hillary Clinton would not have won the popular vote because she and her husband put more people in jail than there were slaves, more black people in jail than there were slaves at the beginning of the Civil War.
And you know what? I know you're right because I've been covering mass incarceration. So
there you go. And it's a prison industry. Judges are being bribed to put teenagers in jail. So first is universal registration of prisoners' vote. The second is free and equal ballot access. The third is tightly drawn districts. And by free and equal ballot access, I mean it's impossible for an independent to get onto a ballot. And it's impossible for an independent to get the kind of organization and exposure that they deserve. So then tightly drawn districts, free and equal public funding. We have to free the members. I'm not so sure about term limits, frankly, because what you end up doing with term limits is you then end up empowering the staff below the congressman, and they become the permanent bureaucracy, such as we have in the military-industrial complex. So free and equal public funding for all candidates, and then you winnow them out. Free and equal media access. All of these broadcasters are operating on public charters. They should be required to provide equal time to all candidates in all forms. Mm-hmm. Now, this is my personal idea, and I like it a lot, which is we have to have not just inclusive debates, but cabinet level debates. So each candidate for president must announce their cabinet selections 30 days prior to the election, and there must be at least 3 cabinet debates for Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and Attorney General, and you can have more. This allows the public to evaluate the president on the basis of the team that they have formed. We should not be electing one man or woman to be a decider.
I love
we
that.
We should be electing a team. Yep. All right. And your listeners may not realize this, but the debates were stolen from the League of Women Voters by the two-party tyranny. They stole the debates because the League of Women Voters had the temerity to insist on third, fourth, and fifth parties, and they would not provide the questions in advance. Finally, open primaries. Bernie Sanders, it's documented that Bernie Sanders had 13 state primaries stolen from him by Hillary Clinton using electronic vote tampering. Hillary Clinton, not the Russians, hacked this election.
Well, and you know what's so amazing is when you put that back on people, it's like they don't even, I mean, so they're complaining about the Russians hacked election, and then you look at what happened in the DNC, it's just mind-boggling.
Well, it's an example of how people have become sheep, and they're buying into the party line, they're buying into the official narrative. The fact is Bernie Sanders should be president had the Democrats been honest. Now, Donald Trump was never intended to be president by the Republicans or the Democrats. The odds makers, the bookies, are very smart people who make a lot of money by being right. And I've written a Kindle, which is also free online, called Donald Trump, the Accidental President. Basically, what happened was that Clinton started talking about the Russians too soon, to the point that the authorities came in and actually sealed the doors. She was going to steal 13 states from Donald Trump the way she stole them from Bernie Sanders. That door was closed. And combined with the New York Police Department leaking some of the emails from the Anthony Weiner laptop, that, in my judgment, kept 3 million people at home. And that was the deciding moment in this election.
I think you're absolutely right that Bernie Sanders would have been president. Now, if they read your book, do you have all the different sources? So it's like, wow, they can really get educated on that.
All of my Kindle publications and all of my free online publications, which are generally mirrors, because I'm in this to spread information, not to make money. They're all heavily documented with links to all sources.
Excellent.
Bernie Sanders, I have to tell you, is a fraud. I tried 8 times to connect with Bernie Sanders and his senior staff to tell him that if he introduced the Electoral Reform Act in 2015, he would be president in 2017. And he blew me off 8 times. What people don't realize is that Bernie has never really been an independent. He's been a Democrat pretending to be an independent. He lost one election early on when he ran as an independent and the Democratic Party in Vermont put up a serious challenger. And it absolutely stunned Bernie Sanders. So he crawled on his hands and knees to the Democratic Party and he groveled. And he said, please, if you don't put up a serious candidate against me in the future, I will always be a closet Democrat. Bernie Sanders sold his soul decades ago. And he did not expect to win nor want to win. He was a sheep herder for Hillary Clinton.
Well, it was weird because when he was up there and people were so angry, he folded really. I mean, I thought he was being blackmailed or something because he folded so quickly.
The fix was in. I mean, look, Bernie has a new house now by the beach. The fix was in. And I have to tell you, there are a lot of people that think that Donald Trump took a $20 billion bribe from Lynn Rothschild. There's no way of knowing. I'm very, very optimistic about Trump if he listens to me on my 3 core ideas. If he doesn't, I think he will be impeached or resign and not finish his term. May I do the last 3?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So the last 3, other than Election Day being a holiday with free public transport, paper ballots and exit polls is huge. We have to have paper ballots counted publicly on site with the results announced publicly, because the results also change in transmission if you're not on top of them. The 11th one is the legislative process. No secret clauses. I can't say enough good things about Donald Trump canceling the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. That was an agreement with many secret clauses that basically screwed American workers and allowed foreign corporations to make American law. And I skipped one, which is number 10, end winner-take-all voting. We no longer, and the electronic voting machines were designed to do fractional voting so that you could guarantee who would win the election if you owned the machine. But if you have instant voting, for example, you choose a first, second, and third choice, and then this instant runoff takes place in the paper ballot counting, and you end up with a true majority winner so that you can vote for a Green and then vote for a Democrat and then vote for a Constitution Party. And your vote for the Green, if the Green candidate does not win, you then drop down and your vote counts toward a Democrat win.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Well, it's not original to me, Sarah. I'm not an original thinker. What I do is aggregate dots. I connect dots. And the last one, which is the one that I designed for Bernie, it mandates that all delegates for federal elections shall be won proportionally with no superdelegates.
Yeah. So then it couldn't.
This is all common sense stuff. Thousands of people have thought about these ideas for the last 15 years. And if I can reach Donald Trump, I want him to have an Elector Reform Act, an open source agency with a Trump channel, and I want him to turn the FBI into a real counterintelligence agency that's able to take out the 500 traitors that are now undermining the U.S. government from within.
Now, could he do that without having to go through Congress? Can he do that all through executive orders?
No, he has to have Congress. He has to have Congress on board, nor do I recommend executive orders. I'm a libertarian. I think executive orders are illegal to begin with. Executive orders should be legislation.
Well, so how can he do that if he needs to go through Congress? Do you think there's enough support in Congress to just revamp all this?
Well, I love that question, Sarah. Let me take it at 2 levels. Number 1, I think a lot of our members hate themselves.
I think you're right.
I really do. Yes. I think they're deeply ashamed of what they have become. And so what I think is going to happen here is Donald Trump is going to have to make a case to these people. And I believe that I have figured out how to get the Republican and Democratic members, not the parties. We need to kill the parties. But the members, if Donald Trump does what he does so well, which is barnstorm the 50 states, if he barnstorms the 50 states and introduces the Electoral Reform Act over 30 days, two states a day, I absolutely guarantee you it will pass.
Well,
among other things, it protects the incumbents.
Well, I think the people are for common sense, too. I mean, you throw something out there that just makes sense. People are so hungry for that.
Well, yes and no. You know, most people are sleepwalking.
Yeah, you're right with that, I guess.
But Sarah, I think if your listeners were willing to do a tweet storm on Electoral Reform Act of 2017 to @RealDonaldTrump and his family members. I don't trust any of his staff, but I trust his family members. I would love to see a tweet storm, Electoral Reform Act of 2017 @RealDonaldTrump, because the bottom line is I believe in Donald Trump and I want Donald Trump to survive and be the best president in modern history. And I'm quite certain that if he does not do an Electoral Reform Act that allows him to muster the 70% of the people who are not controlled by the two parties, then he will be a failed president. Not just an accidental president.
No, we don't want that. Okay, so where can people learn more about you and get your books? You have all this stuff for free. Awesome. With a lot of good information and sources and
yes, and they can just look up Robert David Steele. They can also go to phibetaiota.net, and at the top one of the pages is books. And under that books, you can either buy them at Amazon or you can get the free PDF. Everything I offer except for the Open Source Everything Manifesto is free to the public.
Well, what I like about your information and what I like about people that dig into this is that you can really, whether you agree with you or not, they can go and get educated. You got the sources. They can really learn about the underbelly.
Yes, they can. And let me also say that because I've reviewed over 2,000 books at Amazon, one of the things I've learned is that if people want to use the reviews at Amazon, they can get a wonderful education. One of the pages at phibetaiota.net is called Reviews, and that has all of my lists of reviews. So, for example, they can go in and see all of the books I've reviewed on education or on climate change or on justice. So, yes, everything I do is free. But I would really, really like some help in getting Donald Trump. And see, this is a problem. Rents Priebus got 5 certified letters from me begging him to talk to Donald Trump about an Electoral Reform Act, which should have been announced on Inauguration Day. It would have completely disarmed all those people that are being paid by George Soros to march in the streets. Okay? Rents Priebus is standing between me and Donald Trump. Because Rents Priebus's highest priority in life is to keep Donald Trump a prisoner of the Republican Party.
Well, and that's their goal, right? If he's the head of the RNC, he wants Donald Trump to do what the Republican Party wants.
That's
he
exactly
isn't anymore,
right.
But yeah.
I'm quite certain that Donald Trump could be our first independent president. I'm quite certain that he can design a truth and reconciliation exit strategy for the establishment. I'm quite certain that America is going to be great again, but I'm not certain that Donald Trump will finish out his term.
So I've heard so many of your talks and your interviews, and I got to tell you, this is the best one. This turned into a good one.
You handled me masterfully, and I thank you for your excellent questions. I really do. I'm deeply honored to be asked by you to do an interview, and I hope that this has a good benefit for your listeners.
Oh, I think so. I appreciate it. And I hope you feel a lot better. I know you have bronchitis and you had to suffer through that for this interview. So I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a great day.
Oh, I have really enjoyed this interview. I thank you very, very much. And I'm especially pleased that you decided to go into electoral reform. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. This is good. People will get a lot out of it.
Okay, then I'll say goodbye and go back to bed.
Okay, have a great day.
Bye-bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Unfortunately, we do not have time to air this full interview, but he wanted to share more information, and he has a list of things that he thinks that needs to be done in order to turn this country around. So I really wanted to hear that, and you can listen more on podcasts and get the rest of that as well. And you can get contact information for him on my website at sarahwestall.com. And, of course, you can hear this show on over 100 different stations or digital channels. And it airs in New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut on WBLQ. It also airs on the Global Star satellite Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And also, it airs 7 days a week on Transformation Talk Radio. So you can get the show all over the place. And now I also have my YouTube channel. So you can get this in YouTube form as well. You can share it with your friends. I recommend you sharing these interviews because I'm bringing on so many experts from around the world to really help you see what's going on in this world. There's just so much change and so much turmoil. And the more we're educated on this stuff, the better. And with Robert David Steele, one thing he said, and I want to reiterate it, is that the books and the information he puts out there, he always has the sources so that he can verify what he's saying is true. And that's important. And I don't want you to just trust what someone says to you in an interview. You need to go and check the source. Please don't repeat something that's really important and relevant if you haven't checked the source yourself, because there's so much information that's being spread that's not helping our cause. And do some homework and educate yourself and help make sure that the appropriate information is being appropriate, meaning the truth is being spread and not things that are just made up for specific agendas. So for now, I hope everybody has an amazing day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. As Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. And learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.